our God. Lord, your word has life. Your word is life. Your word has the power to set free, to break every yoke. We pray today that you would make us alive according to your word, O Lord. Let the entrance of your word bring life and light unto our lives, that we do not remain the same after we have left this place. Lord, there is an exchange that happens of light for darkness, of death for life. We pray, let that exchange be experienced in our midst this morning, O Lord. We look not unto ourselves, but we pray, Lord, as we look unto you, that you will feed us with the bread of heaven. Jesus, come, make yourself manifest in our midst. Glorify your name, that every knee will bow before you. And I pray as your servant, as I speak, Lord, grant me the unction that is required to do this work. Help me to decrease that you might be seen. We glorify you, our God, and we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we gave ourselves some homework for us to read one passage out of the Old Testament and two chapters out of the New Testament. How many of us did our homework? Praise the Lord. Okay, everybody did. How many of us heard about the homework? Okay. So, brother, you didn't do your homework. All right. I'll give you another chance to do your homework. So we all have to read the Bible, that we come together, we learn from one another. Like I said, you know, it's not only one person coming to give a lecture or to speak. Sometimes the Lord will use somebody else, you know, to give a word. And that word might make a lot of difference. So let us read, let us pray that as we come prepared. Amen. So today we are going to start with our first assignment, which is to read from the book of Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And Jemima, would you read for us the whole chapter? One second, let them get you a mic so that everybody can hear.
After this presentation to Israel's leaders, Moses and Aaron went to speak to Pharaoh. They told him, "This is what the Lord God of Israel says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival in my honor in the wilderness." "Is that so?" retorted Pharaoh. "And who is the Lord? Why should I listen to him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." But Aaron and Moses persisted. "The God of the Hebrews has met with us," they declared. "So let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness so that we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with a plague or with the sword." Pharaoh replied, "Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their tasks? Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work." That same day, Pharaoh sent out an order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen, "Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make people get it themselves." But they still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. "Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out. Let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. Teach them to listen to lies. That will teach them to listen to lies." So the slave drivers and the foreman went out and told the people, "This is what Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce just as many bricks as before." So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt in search of of stubble to use as straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continue to push hard. Meet your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. Then they whipped the Israelite foremen and put them in charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quotas earlier, yesterday or today, they demanded. So the Israelite foremen went to Pharaoh and pleaded with them. Please don't treat your servants like this, they begged. We are given no straw, but the slave drivers will still demand make bricks. We are being beaten, but it's not our fault. Your own people are to blame. But Pharaoh shouted, you are just lazy. That's why you are saying, let us go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must still produce the full quota of bricks. The Israelite foremen could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, you must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foremen said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands, an excuse to kill us. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people, and you have done nothing to rescue them.
Amen. So here we see the lives of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, being driven by what the Bible called their taskmasters. And I want us to hold on to that word, taskmasters. There's a lot that we're going to unpack, you know, in the next couple of weeks from this passage. And, you know, I want us to give us some background as to how we got to this place where the children of Israel got to be under taskmasters, and how the Lord delivered them. And what does that mean for me as a Christian? How does it affect me? You know, yes, Old Testament, we read this. What about it affects my life? Or what about it applies to me as a Christian? Well, many of you might not know this story very well, but I will give you a synopsis, you know, a summary and a background of this. The forefather of the children of Israel, his name was Abraham. And this Abraham was a man who God, out of millions of people on the earth, God just single-handedly said that God will be gracious unto him. God handpicked him. At that time, Abraham was living with his father Terah in the land called Ur of the Chaldeans. And God told Abraham to leave his father's household, to go to a place where he will tell him where to go. At that time, God hadn't told him where he was going. God just said, leave and go. And by faith, Abraham packed his belongings and left his father's house, and his father left with him. Now, many of you might not know the history behind this Ur of the Chaldeans. Some of us might have read the book of Daniel about how the children of Israel were taken to Babylon. And in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at that time, there were some people called the Chaldeans. When he talked about the astrologers, the magicians, he also talked about the Chaldeans. And these Chaldeans were people who are steeped, well steeped in occultic practices, in practices of gazing at the stars, in practices, they call them magical arts. These were people who, if you were to be in my own country, some people call them juju priests. We call them babalawos, not even babalawos. These were people who you had to be extra. Brother Wally, what is baradi in English?
You have to be extra fortified, thank you, to face such people. You have to be extra fortified. You know, these, and the Chaldeans were even beyond being extra fortified because these people did some things. So the awe of the Chaldeans was where God took Abraham out of. And God made him a promise that he will be a father of many nations. At that time, he had no children. And out of his lineage came these people of Israel in Egypt. And history has it that the magical arts of the Chaldeans of back then was what came to be the magical acts of the courts, the people in the courts of Pharaoh. All the magicians in the court of Pharaoh, they had their lineage back to the Chaldeans. It was the same practice, occultic practice. Now, at that time, God told Abraham, there will come a time when these children, your children, children's children, many years, they will be under oppression. They will be under slavery in a land that is not theirs for 400 years. And it did happen that way. And those 400 years, they came before those 400 years started. You know, God in his providential manner and way, he caused there to be one of the children, the many children later on, of Abraham called Joseph. There was a famine that came in the land of Israel, where God took them to. Joseph left, not because of the famine, it was later on. Joseph left by not of his own will, but by being 419 by his brothers, he got to the land of Egypt. Joseph became a prime minister in Egypt, and he became a man of prominence, and he invited his whole family, and that was how they settled in Egypt. It so happened that after Joseph died, there rose a king that did not know them. Well, the only thing this king saw was that these Egyptians were multiplying. These Israelites, sorry, thank you very much. These Israelites, yes, Sister Shadi, you can say it. Rabbim is growing old. These Israelites were multiplying. Not only were they multiplying, they were being blessed by God. There was something about their lives that was just different. And that king said that, oh, we have to do something about this. Because if we go to war, these people might join with the enemy and overtake us. And that king now set taskmasters over the children of Israel. When I read the Bible, you know, I see some patterns. You know, some people call it them spirits. But I see some patterns which we can directly correlate with the life of a Christian or with the experience of a Christian. Before every Christian gets born again, we were all under the bondage of sin, whether we knew it or we did not. Every one of us was under the bondage of sin. And the corollary of the bondage of sin is like what the children of Israel were under in this bondage in the land of Egypt. For 400 years, you can imagine for 400 years, Brother Kule, maybe you know your grandparents. Do you know your grandparents' parents? Very few of us know our grandparents' parents. So your grandparents' parents might be maybe 100 years back. Because I know my own grandparents. I heard of my grandparents' parents, but my grandparents' grandparents, no history. And that's like, because my own grandfather, I think he was born around 1910. And that's how many years ago? 100 and something years ago. Now, they were in Egypt for how many years? 400 years. So how many grandparents was that? You can imagine, do the math. So you can imagine how long they had been hearing about this God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. They had been hearing by word of mouth the mighty deeds that this God did that brought them to Egypt. And all they knew about their own estates was that our fathers talked about this great God, but we are under oppression. We are under subjection. We have been slaves. Our fathers were slaves. All we know for the future of our children is that they will be slaves. And this is the same kind of bondage that everyone who is not yet in Christ is under. Some people say there are generational curses or generational spirits. I call them generational patterns. Because the likelihood that a child will smoke in a house where the parents smoke is way, way, way much higher than a child will smoke where there is no parents smoking. The likelihood that a child will do certain patterns of the parent is very high because children are like sponges. The practices of the parents is what they will do in their lives, except God intervenes in the lives of that child. So we see this pattern from generation to generation. And sometimes in the life of people, we see certain things that come from the fathers to the children, to the children's children. And we begin to ask the question, why? The same thing the children of Israel saw in the land of Egypt. They were slaves. All they knew was slavery. And there came a time after what God said about them, these 400 years had come to an end. Another thing I know in life, brothers and sisters, nothing is forever. Everything that starts one day will have an ending. We are not yet at that place where there is a world without end. But as long as we are still in this earth, everything that starts has an ending. Where your parents have not done it, you have not done it, your children, you don't know whether they're going to do it, God, out of his providence, could say, this year, your generation will not continue what you have known as the lineage of your parents. I know, or I've heard, I know some families where men, they don't grow past the age of 40 or 50. You see, if it happens in one or two generations, you might say, yeah, maybe by chance. But you see this thing generation after generation, but like clockwork is happening. Men, they do not grow old in some families. In some families, women, they would marry, but they would never keep their homes. In some families, the children, they are always strung out on drugs. There are many things, and the corollary I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is that of this taskmaster. The devil being the taskmaster over many lives. In some families, they will have, but there will always be a disaster that will cut families short. But there comes a time when God will meet with the family, and one person will rise up out of that family, and that will be the beginning of the end of the work of the taskmaster in the life of that person. But let me tell you something that I've also seen. The end is never easy. Because the taskmaster doesn't let go easily. Have you seen, looking back at your lives, you might not have seen it, but if you sometimes some people, when they see these things, they go to inquire, Mommy, what is it about our family? Tell me the story of my own grandparents or my great grandparents. What was it about? How did they live? There's a pattern I've seen. What did you see? Tell me about the history of our family. Some parents will now begin to
in my language, I say they release the bicycle of talk. You know, they release the bicycle of talk and begin to tell the history, you know, and then some families are able to trace it back to, oh, this is how we got here. How did the children of Israel get here? Was it sin? No. The Lord just said, that will be it. Now, when the Lord talks about the future, because God has said it, doesn't mean that God has caused it. Because God has said it, that it will happen, doesn't mean that God is the one who would make it happen that way. We live in a fallen world. So let us know that. We live in a world filled with sin. And because of that, certain things will happen because of the course of the world in which we live. The world itself, the Bible says, is groaning. But we have to know that even though we live in a fallen world, we live with a broken nature, broken by sin. The Lord who has seen what will be is the one that will set the captives free. He's the one who has the power to set the captives free. Now, what did we see in the life of the Israelites? Now, let's go a little bit further. So here, we've seen the story in chapter 5 of how the Lord sent Moses, you know, maybe at another time we'll go into the history of how Moses got to where he was. But the Lord sent Moses to the land of Egypt. Go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. So that they may do what? So that they may sacrifice to me or worship me or serve me. Different translations. But the effective thing, the time of Israel has come for there to be deliverance. As that time will come, when the Lord meets you with his grace and his power for deliverance to come into your life. Pharaoh, let my people do what? Go. Did Pharaoh say, Moses, Aaron, oh yeah, take your people and go? I wish it happened that way. I wish it happened that way, because then our lives will be much, much easier to get out of problems, all these things we are talking about, to easily, you know, turn them around. No. Pharaoh did not let the people go that easily. So what did they start with? Pharaoh said, look, for you to come and say, let my people go, that means you don't have work. You guys are idle. My generals, the people who have you appointed, my taskmasters, double their chores. And he did not double their chores by just saying, okay, produce extra bricks. Before, they would give them straw to make bricks. But he said, you go and look for bricks, but the quota of bricks you make must not decrease. And initially, when that didn't happen, what did they do to the people set over the slaves? They whip them, they beat them. The people who were set over the slaves that they beat now came to Pharaoh, please. Have mercy. You're not giving us trust like before. You're still expecting us to make the same number of bricks. What did Pharaoh do to them? Get out of my sight. You guys are lazy. What I've said stands. And you know that at that time, Pharaoh was seen like a what to the people? A god to the people. In the land of Egypt also, they had many gods. They had Hecate, Isis, Osiris. There were many gods, and each god was dedicated unto something. Sometimes it was to the worship of the Nile. Sometimes it was the worship of the sun. Sometimes it was the worship of Pharaoh himself was a god. That's how the people viewed him. And the time of deliverance had come, but the deliverance was not going to be something easy. So Pharaoh doubled their chores. And you know, people who have been under slavery for so long, what do you know? You see,
And I think I've told you this story before. You know elephants? You know, my wife and I, we recently went to Uganda. It's like on a safari. You don't know what an elephant, how big it is until you see it up close. That is like a house. I'm telling you, they are huge. They are huge and powerful. But, you know, we see elephants in circuses, right? How does such a big, massive thing with so much strength, how are they easily able to be shepherded around like sheep and held down like that? I read about how elephants are trained for the circus. Said from when they are very young, they put a huge chain on one leg, and a chain big enough that you could never break free. And for years, the elephants will be chained, and they will be asked to do whatever training they want them to do. But because the elephants can't go far because of the chain, they always think the chain is there. So that as the elephants grow older, you could put a twine, you know, a twine that could break easily. You could put it under that same leg. It will, as long as you feel something, it will be reminded of the words of the chain. It will never break free. And that is how these huge things are able to be easily restrained. A person who has been under slavery for so long, the mindset is that of I am a slave. The mindset is never that of freedom. The mindset is always I am a slave. So when these taskmasters, when they got to Pharaoh and Pharaoh said that, get out of my sight, your quota must not decrease. What did they do to Aaron and Moses? Let's read it there. What did they do to them? May God words. Do you think that was a prayer? May God judge you. May God judge you. You know how when something pains you, may God do it for you. It was painful. Look. We're under slavery, but our lot hasn't been so hard. Now you come, you say you want to deliver us. You have doubled our chores. May God judge you with vitriol in their hearts that whatever cause could be rained up upon you, let it be rained up upon you. Meanwhile, what were they doing for them? They wanted to free them. For many people, may we not curse our deliverers, you know? Because we've been under bondage of sin. We've been under the yoke of Satan for so long. Sometimes when the Lord brings about a time of deliverance, many of us don't believe it. Because we never think it can happen. Because that is what we've known in our family. But that this can happen in my family, many of us, you know, we think it can never, God can't do it. Yes, we've heard of the God that can do it. And that is the lot of many people. We've heard about this God that he can do it. But do we believe? For 400 years, we've not experienced it. I don't blame them, brothers and sisters. Because I put myself in the same shoes. I don't know. Can he do it? I don't know. But this God is going to show himself powerful. As we go further in that chapter, in the succeeding chapters, you know, I know that we didn't give the homework, but for the studio students that might have gone further, we know the story. Moses and Aaron, they went back to God. God, this is what is happening. You know, if these people could stone me, they will have stoned me. But Lord, you are the one that sent me. Please do something. And God told Moses and Aaron that with a mighty hand, and we read that in the psalm we read this morning, Psalm 107, with a mighty hand would he deliver Israel. The yoke of Egypt can never go with a small hand. The yoke of bondage will never be set loose with a strong hand. In Psalm 107, you know that song that we sing? It comes from that psalm, that he hath opened the gates of brass and set the bars of iron asunder. He hath broken the gates of brass and set the and cut the bars of iron asunder. That is what it's like to be under the bondage of Egypt. Gates of iron, shackles of brass. How many people can break out of the shackle of brass? Gates of iron. Nobody can, with a feeble hand, set free. It takes a mighty hand to set free from such a bondage. Now, God said that he will show Pharaoh who is God. Because remember when Moses and Aaron first came to God, what did Pharaoh say? Who is this God that you're talking about? Then God said, I will show Pharaoh who this God is. Who this God is. Brothers and sisters, the same God that sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh is the God we serve. I want to let you know that today. That God is the God we serve. Now, first of all, God said he was going to show his own power by sending plagues to Egypt. What was the first plague that God did? The Nile, which was the source. You know, when they talk about the Nile, even today, you know, there's a fight between Egypt, was Egypt and Ethiopia, was it? Yeah, I think it was on one of the Blue Nile or the White Nile. They wanted to put a dam on the Nile for them to have electricity, and Egypt is saying no, because the Nile is the source of life for Egypt. The Nile is the water that they have for everything, to fertilize their, to water their plants for fertilization. The Nile was a source of life. So they had some gods that they worshipped. There was something that was, they called the annual flooding of the Nile. And when that happened, they brought sacrifices or gifts to the god of the Nile for them. And so when God turned the Nile into blood, that was something against one of their gods to show that that God we are worshiping has no power. This source of life for you, I am the source of life, not the Nile. So the God you have attributed the source of life to, I'm going to show you that that God cannot sustain you. I am the one that can sustain you. Every plague that God caused to happen to Egypt was in connection to one of the gods they worshipped. So after the Nile water turned to blood, then frogs. Before that self, you remember when they went before Pharaoh? Aaron, he put his own staff, the staff that God used to deal with Moses, dropped it on the floor before Pharaoh. The magicians in the court of Pharaoh, remember the people who are the lineage all to the Chaldeans, they did what? They dropped their own staff. And what happened? Every staff became, you see, no, sometimes, you know, there's magician and there's magician. There's magician who will do tricks and they will hide it here. And you think, no, these ones were not hiding it there. These ones had powers that were occultic and real. So some people have been under such families or communities where you have seen some things happen. I remember my father used to tell me that there were some people, when he was growing up, that there was a man that he would put, when they were going on a journey, you know, there was no cars then, the man would put his hand on a palm tree and lift one leg or something like that, and the man will just not see him again. They will just not see him again, you know? So I know that there are some powers. And some of us, being from Africa, know that there are some powers. This is the kind of power I'm talking about. That they will make a stick turn into a snake. Yes. If you are to talk to the professors, maybe professors is not scientific, right? It's not scientific. You know, but there are some things that are beyond science which we cannot explain. So, but the great thing about what happened here was that the staff of Aaron that God sent that turned into a snake ate up the snakes of the magicians. So God showed that his own power is greater than that of the magicians. Then the third thing that now happened was that the Moses and Aaron, they brought about another plague by causing frogs to come out of the Nile. And as frogs came out of the Nile, it became a disturbance to the people of Egypt. And this was the beginning of Pharaoh's troubles. It had started before, but at this time, Pharaoh now begged Moses, please, cause these frogs to stop. And Moses went to God. God, okay, do something about it. And the Bible says that as soon as the frogs stopped, what happened to Pharaoh? Did he say, okay, let them go? His heart was hardened. That means that even if he was going to pardon them before, now his heart was that it will not happen. It will not, you know how some people are stubborn. It won't happen. And they stayed there, it will not happen. This really was the spirit. If anybody says the spirit of Egypt, this is what it was. The stubbornness of allowing there to be deliverance for the children of God. This is when the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is what it's talking about. There's a stubbornness about what the enemy, what Satan wants for the children of God. Satan doesn't come for you not to have. It's not enough. It's for you not to have and for you to be destroyed. That is his plot. That is his plan. And the plan of God is for you to have life. It's for you to be delivered from the hand of Satan. So these spirits, this pattern that we see in Egypt, we still see it in many lives today. Because if the Lord doesn't deliver, no one can deliver. So even the frogs, the magicians, they duplicated it. And as long as the magicians can duplicate it, Pharaoh will still think that, what is it? My occultic men, they've done it. But then the fourth plague happened, which was the sand, you know, Egypt, deserts, sand became like gnats, lice, biting flies. And the magicians, this time, they could not duplicate what Moses and Aaron did. Do you know what the magician said? Pharaoh, this is the hand of God. He passed also. This one, we've tried. This is the hand of God. For the magicians, for them to be able to acknowledge that there's a power that passes our own. There's a God that these people worship that we have never seen before. Then Pharaoh knew that, now I'm dealing with somebody. But do you think Pharaoh let them go? No, Pharaoh did not let them go. And God brought plague upon plague, that every god of Egypt will be cut asunder. Every god of Egypt will be brought down. And eventually, in the last plague, what happened? God caused there to be
the death of every firstborn. Every firstborn. Now, let me shock you with something that you might not know. When God caused the angel of death to go to Egypt, do you know that the firstborn of the Israelites will also have been killed? Do you know that the firstborn of the Israelites would also have been killed? But God gave them a plan. God said, kill every household, gather together. If you're not up to a household, gather with one another household. All of you gather together. Because this night, the angel of death will visit Egypt. And all of you are to kill a lamb or a kid that is less than a year old. And the blood of that lamb, put it upon the lintel of your house. That when the angel of death comes and sees that blood, the angel of death will pass over that household. Brothers and sisters, what I've been trying to make you know from the beginning of this sermon is that some things would never go without there being a death. The ultimate deliverance of God always comes by there being a death. But let me tell you something. You see, the death that you are supposed to die, like the children of Egypt, like their firstborns died, Jesus Christ took that death upon himself. That was the blood that was put on the lintel, that when the angel of death came, it passed over them. What has in your own household, in your own life, the enemy has held and say, I will not let you go. You will not be progressive in this thing. You will have no breakthrough in this thing. Yes, your household, this is what you've been known by. But today, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the God who was able to set the Israelites free is able to set you free. But just as the Israelites themselves, by faith, put that blood upon the lintel of their houses, you have to accept the death of Christ on your own behalf for there to be that deliverance. So if you don't know Jesus, the deliverance cannot happen. You have to accept Jesus. Oh, you died. Okay, if you died for them, you have also died for me. Because you died on the cross and your blood was shed that I might be saved. The bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, the bondage of the taskmasters will be loosed from my life. And this same Jesus that died, that you might be set free, is able to make you free indeed. Remember, I told you that that God that cut down every god of Egypt is the God we are worshiping. That God, sometimes he doesn't open our eyes to see what he's doing. But believe me, the God of our ancestors, the gods that our households worship, the gods, whether known or unknown, that have troubled our families, God is able to bring there a deliverance today. Peradventure, today is your own day of deliverance. Don't stone Moses and Aaron. Accept what the Lord has done, that you might be delivered. Now, let me also tell you something. You see, there's a deliverance from the bondage of sin that is what makes a person call being born again. In the following weeks, we shall also see that as slaves, you can leave Egypt and be delivered, and Egypt not leave you. You can leave Egypt through the mighty hand of God, but the practices of Egypt has not yet left you. But before you get in the promised land, both Egypt and the Egypt within you, God must bring them to death. God must bring them to death. Because without there being a death to Egypt within us and the bondage of Egypt over us, we will not be able to enter the land of promise. What is there that you have seen in your household that is attacking you, that is fighting your children? This God we serve is able to bring about the deliverance. Let us pray. Let us pray. Let us rise to our feet to pray this morning. Rise to our feet to pray. I might not know, but God knows. You can call upon God. Is it this pattern you have seen in your parents? Is it in your life, on your children's life, that this God of deliverance can deliver to the uttermost? This God that has power, that is able to, with a mighty hand, draw out his own out of the bondage of the taskmasters, is able to deliver you, is able to set you free. His word says that those who he has made free, they are free indeed. They are free indeed. So pray. Pray this morning that if you do not know this God, if you've not experienced him, if you have not met with him, if you've only heard about him, like the Israelites, they heard what their forefathers had said about this God. Yes, they heard about him. You've heard what others have said. But you have never met with him. You have never experienced him in your life. Pray that, God, I want to meet with you. I want to know you. I've only heard about you, but I have never met with you. So pray this morning that, God, open my eyes that I may see you. Open my ears that you may speak to me. I have only heard of you from others, but I too, I want to know you like these people know you. I too, I want the deliverance within my household, within my life, like those whom you have delivered. Yet, it might have been long, but surely God's deliverance will come. Yes, I have not have seen it yet, but surely God's deliverance will come. So pray this morning. That Jesus, the death you died on the cross is sufficient for my deliverance. Is sufficient for my salvation. You have heard this morning that this God, his name is Jehovah. He also said his name is the I am that I am. Call upon him. God, come. Bring deliverance into my life. I desire to know your salvation. I desire to be set free from the bondage of the taskmaster, from the bondage of Satan. Because no hand can set free from the bars of iron, from the shackles of brass. It takes a mighty, powerful hand to set free. And that is the God we call upon this morning that is able to set free. More than every God of our lands, of our households, of our families, of our cultures. More than every God that is influenced by the God of this world. That God has power. And as we bring our prayers to a close, I'd like to pray for us this morning. That Heavenly Father, You are the great deliverer. We look up to you because we by faith believe, oh God, that you are able to set free to the uttermost. So we call upon you this morning, our God. Peradventure, there are some here who are still under the yoke and bondage of Satan because they have not come under the blood of Christ that is able to make them free. I pray this morning, Lord, put your blood upon such a life, oh God. Let there be salvation. Let there be deliverance. Let there be a setting free, oh God. That let today, Lord, as there came a time of the end of the bondage of Israel, let there be an end to the bondage of lives in this place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you, our God, who is able to deliver to the uttermost, oh God, who is able to set free from the bondage of Satan, I pray that you will set your children free, that your children may go from the work of Satan and they may worship you. Lord, we know that it will not be easy because the enemy doesn't let go freely. But we call upon you, who is greater than the enemy, who is greater than any god of the land, that, Lord, you will step in on our behalf. Jesus, it is your blood that we pray for that will be applied on such a life, oh God, that there will be a cutting away, Father, a severance of the things of the past, a severance, Father, of anything from their past that would hinder them from coming to the knowledge of Christ. Let those eyes be open, Father. Let those spirits that are dead in the things of the Spirit be alive unto Christ Jesus this morning, I pray. Lord, if you can do it today, you can make it permanent. And I pray, Father, that we will see testimonies to come, that it will be so as you have said it in the lives of your children, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.